ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 170. స్వప్నేర్థ శూన్యే సృజతి స్వశక్త్యా భోక్త్రాది విశ్వం మన ఏవ సర్వం తథైవ జాగ్రత్యపి నో విశేష తత్సర్వమే తత్ మనసో విజృంభణం. సో శంకరాచార్య హీఈస్ నౌ డీలింగ్ విత్ మనోమయ కోశ, విచ్ ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్లోక 167 అండ్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి అంటిల్ 188. అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ డిఫైనింగ్ ద మనోమయ కోశ, Shankaracharya now is pointing out that Manomaya alone is the cause of samsara. Even though we say ignorance is the cause of samsara, pure ignorance by itself does not directly cause any problem. That is why we have a saying in English also, total ignorance is bliss. This is also proved in our deep sleep state also, where ignorance is in pure form without any other support and does not cause any direct problem. In fact, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, deep sleep state is given as an example for even mukti. Therefore, when the ignorance is activated in the Jagratavastha and in Swapnavastha with the help of the mind, then alone the problem of samsara that comes. It shows up. Therefore, the ignorance is converted into samsara by what? By the mind alone. Pure mind also is not a problem. But when ignorance and mind, when they join as a team together, then there is a problem. How do we prove this? If you take sleep, in sleep, ignorance alone is there. Mind is resolved. So there is no problem in deep sleep. And if you take a jnani, for a jnani, mind is there. Ignorance is not there for him because he is a jnani and he has no problem either. So the problem is when the mind and ignorance, they join together. Here, the role of the mind is highlighted. Why I say is that what? In some places, the Acharya says, ajnanam is the cause of samsara. Whereas he says here that mind is the cause of samsara. So the confusion should not come. So mind plus ignorance, that is the cause of samsara. That is how we should understand. So in some places, mind is highlighted. In some other places, ignorance is highlighted. So in the previous shloka, the Acharya said that manomaya is bhava bandha hetuhu. Here Acharya, he gives the explanation of that actually. Mind is the cause for everything. When there is mind, there is everything. When mind is not, there is nothing. So to show that, the Acharya takes the three states of experiences called avastha traya. In Jagrat avastha, the mind is. And therefore, there is everything in the form of bhokta, bhogyam and bhogaha, the world that presents here. So in the swapna avastha also, the mind is. And so there is also bhokta, bhogyam and bhogaha, that is the experiencer, bhokta, and the objects of experience, the bhogyam, and the consequence of experience, that is bhogaha. So, which causes raga, dvesha, and all that. And in sushupti, in deep sleep state, the mind is resolved also, and so bhoktra adi vishvam api nasti. If you read the sloka, bhoktra adi vishvam api nasti, samsaraha api nasti. This is the approach the Acharya is going to take. And this method of argument that is called in Vedanta as Anvaya Vyatirikta method. Anvaya Vyatirikta argument. So if you add, for example, sugar to something, it becomes sweet. When you don't add sugar, it is not sweet. That is sugar sattve, sweetness sattvam. Sugar abhave, sweetness abhavaha. Tasmat sugar eva, sweetasya karanam. And if you say it in full Sanskrit, so sharkara sattve madhurya sattvam. Madhurya means sweetness. Sharkara abhave madhurya abhavaha. తస్మాత్ శర్కరా ఏవ మాధుర్యస్య కారణం. సో సింపుల్ సంస్కృత్ యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్. సో హౌ డు వి ఫైండ్ అవుట్ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ అలర్జీ? ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ విత్ ద సంబడీ హెస్ అన్ అలర్జీ, వి టేక్ ద సబ్స్టెన్స్ అండ్ సీ వెదర్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ కమ్స్ హెడేక్ ఆర్ స్టమక్ ఏక్ ఆర్ సమ్ ర్యాషెస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అండ్ వి డ్రాప్ ద సబ్స్టెన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ సీ వెదర్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ గోస్ అవే అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఎ ఫ్యూ ట్రయల్ అండ్ ఎర్రర్ వి మేక్ ద కన్క్లూషన్ దట్ దిస్ సబ్స్టెన్స్ ఈస్ ది కాస్. సిమిలర్లీ మనోమయ సత్వే భోక్త్రాది సంసార సత్వం, మనోమయ అభావే భోక్త్రాది సంసార అభావ, తస్మాత్ మనోమయ ఏవ సంసారస్య కారణం. సో హీ సేస్ అర్థశూన్య స్వప్నే మనః ఏవ సర్వం సృజతి, ఏవం సర్వం సృజతి. దట్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ స్వప్నే మనోమయ సర్వం సృజతి. ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ స్వప్నే మైండ్ అలోన్ మనోమయ సర్వం సృజతి, క్రియేట్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ సర్వం ఎవ్రీథింగ్స్. అండ్ వై డు వి సే దట్ ద మైండ్ క్రియేట్స్ దట్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్? వీ కెన్ సే దట్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్. వై వి సే మైండ్ క్రియేట్స్? వీ కెనాట్ సే ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ ద ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్, బికాస్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ అండ్ సో ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి ఎ స్పెషల్ వరల్డ్ కాల్స్ ద డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ సో ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి అన్ ఇంటర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఓన్లీ, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ అన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్. దర్ఫోర్ దర్ మస్ట్ బి ఎ క్రియేటర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఇంటర్నల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ హూ ఇస్ దాట్? మనోమయ ఏవ సర్వం విశ్వం సృజతి ఇన్ ద స్వప్న ఇన్ ది డ్రీమ్. అండ్ వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ డ్రీమ్? అర్థశూన్యే ఇన్ ద స్వప్న ఇన్ విచ్ దెర్ ఆర్ నో ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అట్ ఆల్. అర్థశూన్య, అర్థ హియర్ రిఫర్స్ టు ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. శూన్యం మీన్స్ వితౌట్, ఇట్స్ అన్ అడ్జెక్టివ్ టు స్వప్న. సో ఇన్ ద స్వప్న వేర్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆర్ నాట్ దేర్, మైండ్ అలోన్ ఇస్ దేర్, సో సర్వం సృజతి, ఇట్ క్రియేట్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. అండ్ హౌ డస్ ద మైండ్ డూ దాట్? స్వశక్త్యా క్రియేట్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. మైండ్ ఇస్ లైక్ ది భగవాన్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ద లార్డ్, అండ్ సో కెన్ క్రియేట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ ద ఇంటెలిజెంట్ కాజ్ ఫర్ ద డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్? మైండ్ అలోన్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద మెటీరియల్ కాజ్ ఫర్ ద డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్? మైండ్ అలోన్. సో అభిన్న నిమిత్త ఉపాదాన కారణం, దట్స్ వాట్ వి కాల్ ఇట్. ఇట్ కెన్ క్రియేట్ ఎనీథింగ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ బోత్ ద మెటీరియల్ కాజ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ది ఇంటెలిజెంట్ కాజ్. అండ్ హౌ మచ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ విల్ టేక్ ఫర్ ది డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్ టు బి క్రియేటెడ్? Say, for example, to build a 100-storied building in dream, how long it takes? Actually, to repair a door or some bathroom facet, it takes maybe 15 days, 10 days. The plumber has to come, goes, it's not fitting, that thing, all those. Whereas in dream, to build a 100-storied building, what shakti we have got? Sankalpa shaktya srijati. And that is why the example is given to understand Bhagavan's creation. So, kamayata. బహుశ్యాం ప్రజా ఏతి సతపోతప్యత సతపస్తప్త్వా ఇదగుం సర్వమ సృజత. భగవాన్ ఆల్సో డస్ నాట్ టేక్ ఎనీ టైమ్. స్వశక్త్యా బై హిస్ ఓన్ శక్తి, భగవాన్ శక్తి ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వాట్? శక్తి ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మాయాశక్తి. అండ్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ శక్తి ఈస్ కాల్డ్ నిద్రాశక్తి. ఇన్ డీప్ స్లీప్ వీ కెన్ క్రియేట్ ఆల్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ జస్ట్ బై మియర్ సంకల్ప. సో మనసహ శక్త్యా దట్ ఈస్ నిద్రాశక్త్యా సృజతి క్రియేట్స్. అండ్ వాట్ ఆల్ ద క్రియేట్ థింగ్స్ ఇట్ క్రియేట్స్? భోక్త్రాది విశ్వం, ది ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ భోక్త, భోగ్యం అండ్ భోక్త. సో ది జనరలీ నోన్ అస్ ద త్రిపుటి, ఇస్ కాల్డ్ త్రిపుటి, ద ట్రయడ్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సర్ ద ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ అండ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. So mind alone creates all three of them. Not only it creates them, along with that samsara also comes, because the moment they come into being, then what happens? The yajna starts, because sense organs are there, constant ahuti, sense organ, ears, hear, eyes, see. So constant ahuti, swaha will be there. That is why if you irritate a person, for example, they call it putting dupam. You know, I don't know, in various languages they may call it different way. They call it putting dupam. So the mind smokes, they say. So not only it creates the world, it creates varieties of problems of samsara. Okay, and what about jagratavastha? Okay, this is in dream world. What about jagratavastha in the wakeful state? Shankaracharya says, jagrati api tatha eva. In the jagratavastha also, the mind alone creates the bhoktru, bhogya, bhoga, tripati, triputi. సో నో విశేష నో విశేష ఐ మీన్ దర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇన్ జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ ఆల్సో మనోమయ అలోన్ ఈస్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ ఫార్ ది ట్రయడ్ త్రిపుటి ఆఫ్ భోక్తృ భోగ్య భోగ. హియర్ దర్ కెన్ బి ఎ టెక్నికల్ క్వశ్చన్ పర్ హ్యాప్స్ ఇన్ స్వప్న ఎస్పెషలీ ఇన్ ది డ్రీమ్ ఏ భోగ వస్తు ఆర్ అ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దాట్ ఈస్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ద మైండ్ ఇన్ ద డ్రీమ్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ది మైండ్ అలోన్ ప్రొజెక్ట్స్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ సమ్ నైస్ ఐస్ క్రీమ్. నౌ వెన్ శంకరాచార్య అసెస్ ఇన్ ద జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ ఆల్సో మైండ్ అలోన్ క్రియేట్స్ ది భోగ్య అండ్ భోగ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్ దట్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ ఈస్ ఇట్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ది మైండ్ బికాస్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్ ఐ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ బట్ ఇన్ రియల్ జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ ఈస్ ఇట్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ది మైండ్ ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ టెక్నికల్ క్వశ్చన్ వెదర్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఈస్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ది మైండ్ అండ్ ఇన్ అద్వైత దర్ ఈస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ డిస్కషన్ ఆన్ దిస్ We'll just only touch upon it enough for our understanding at the moment. Now, we can never accept that, for example, this desk I am using here is created by my mind. It has been created by someone. I bought it from a store and I am using it. Whereas the dream desk, if I have a desk in my dream, that is created by my mind. So how can Shankaracharya say that mind alone creates the objects of experience? ద భోగ్య ప్రపంచ ఇన్ బోత్ స్వప్నావస్థ అండ్ జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ స్వప్నావస్థ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇన్ జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ హౌ ఆచార్య క్యాన్ సే సో సో దిస్ వీ కెన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్ బట్ వన్ సింపుల్ వే ఇస్ దిస్ డెస్క్ ఈస్ నాట్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ది మైండ్ ది ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ ఎవిడెంట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏ జీవ సృష్టి బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఈశ్వర సృష్టి Otherwise, it will also become Jiva Srishti, it will also become like the Swapna Prapancha, and it will also become Pratibhasikam. So everything will become Pratibhasikam, and there won't be difference between subjective universe and the objective universe. So Pratibhasika and Vyavaharika. See, since we accept this difference between them, Pratibhasika, Vyavaharika, Bhedaha, our standard explanation is swapna is created by my mind and jagrata avastha it is not created by my mind but that is why someone very nicely put it you know in dream I see therefore it is in waking it is therefore I see I hope you understand in dream I see therefore it is that object is in waking the object is therefore I see this is the conventional understanding Then how to explain Shankaracharya's statement that mind alone creates the bhogya vastu in jagrat avastha? We should say that the jagrat prapancha is created by Ishwara. That we have no doubt in that. Not by the mind. The external world is not created by me but by Ishwara. But it becomes a bhogya vastu only when I choose to relate to this object. By itself it is padartha. When For example, when some job of the desk is in the store, it is only a padartha, material. And whenever, whatever happens to the desk, I am a jivan mukta, I can be with respect to the desk. Whether it breaks or whatever happens to it, it will not affect me at all. It is called padarthaha. It is a meaning of the word. For example, padartha, padasya arthaha, so it is a meaning of the word, desk. But the moment I go to the shop, pay the price, buy it and constantly use it and also gets perhaps a sentiment with that. If I keep this desk perhaps every day, the lecture will go very well. Some sentiment, people can have all those sentiments. They say actually the cricketer, you know, Tendulkar or somebody, you know, he has the sentiment it seems that if he gets the cap and sweater of the bowler to the umpire, if he gives to them, then he will get the wicket. Somehow some sentiment like that. Similarly, I keep this desk, my thought flow is good, that's what I might believe, then this desk will become a maha samsara for me. That's what Swamiji says. If I have to believe that with this desk, I get so nice thought flow and all for my lecture, then this desk becomes a maha samsara for me. Now, this desk's status of bhogya is created by whom? By my mind only. That is, the desk padartha, that material, is Ishwara Shrutti, the Bhogyatvam is my Shrutti. The desk is created by Ishwara, but the Bhogyatvam, that is my creation. Similarly, for example, if you take a girl or boy born to some family in some country somewhere, and that person is a woman or a man, doesn't matter, a person chooses to marry her or him, then on that person is not a woman or a boy, which is Ishwara Shetty, but when he says or she says, she is my wife, he is my husband, that wife or husband, that is Jeeva Shetty, because I choose to relate. Therefore, only Shankaracharya uses the word Bhoktradi Vishwam. The wife and husband, they become Bhogya Vastu and Bhokta, or see, they Bhokta or Bhoktri, all whatever it is, we can't call it. So that Bhoktru Bhogya Sambandha, that relationship is not Ishwara Srishti, that is Srishti of my mind. My mind creates. So the Sambandhi is Ishwara Srishti, but the relationship has been struck by my mind. And therefore what? It is Manomaya Srishti only. It is from the angle that Shankaracharya says that Jagrati Api Manomayaha Eva Bhoktru Bhogya Prapancham Srujati No Visheshaha. Tat means tasma. Therefore, Sarvam Yetat Manasaha Vijrimbanam. Everything Sarvam Bhoktru Bhogya Bhoga Truputi. That triad. Both the experiencer, the object of experience, and the experience itself, both in the Jagradavastha as well as in the Swapnavastha, it is only by the projection or creation, Vijrimbana means projection, of the mind. This Adhyasa of the mind, this Kalpana of the mind, the projection of the mind, and the Triputi is equal to Samsara. This Triputi is equal to Samsara. We have to connect like that. So Shankaracharya says, mind creates this triad, Triputi. We have to add this Triputi here. So Triputi is equal to Samsara, and therefore mind alone creates Samsara. Samsara is created by mind. So earlier we were telling Samsara is created by ignorance. So my Acharya says, mind creates Samsara. As was said earlier, Acharya uses the Anvaya Vetirikta method alone here. Having talked about the Anvaya here in this shloka, what is that? When the mind is problem, when the mind is problem is, that is called Anvaya. Anvaya is otherwise called co-presence. When there is mind, there is problem. And Vyatirikta is co-absence. Co-presence and co-absence. When the mind is resolved as in deep sleep state, Samsara also is resolved. He takes up the Vyatirikta in the next shloka, shloka 171, that we will read.
Sushupti kale manasi praline नैवास्ति किञ्चित् सकल प्रसिद्धेः अतो मनकल्पित एव पुंसः संसारये तस्य न वस्तुतोस्ति.
So the Anvaya that has been shown in the previous shloka with the help of the Jagradavastha and the Sushupti Avastha, because in these two the mind is there. To show the Vyatirikta, the Acharya takes the Sushupti Avastha where the mind is resolved. So for the co-presence Anvaya, both the Jagradavastha Sushupti and the Swapnavastha are taken, and for the co-absence Vyatireka, the Acharya is taking the Sushupti Avastha where the mind is resolved. So he says, Sushupti Kale Manasi Praline Sati. In the sleep state, deep sleep state, when the mind is resolved into what? Mind resolves into the Karna Shariram. Mind belongs to the Sukshma Shariram and it resolves into Karana Shariram. By now we should be all very familiar with these terms. So Karana Sharire Praline Sati Kinchit Naiva Asti. Nothing is there like Bhokta and all that. I don't exist as Bhokta. There is no world existing as Bhogyam. And there is no interactive experience called Bhoga. None of those things are there. So Bhoktru Bhogya Bhoga Vikalpaha Kinchitapi Nasti. Kinchitapi means not even little bit. Not only Nasti, Naiva Asti, not at all there. Okay, and what is the proof for that? That in the Sushupti, that there is no duality at all. What is the proof? Shankaracharya says, it is ridiculous for one to ask the proof from me. Because regarding Sushupti, I need not have to talk. You all, the students are experts in that, in Sushupti. So he says, Sakala Prasiddehe. It is a very, very well-known thing to all the people. That is why they say that when Kumbhakarna was killed, Nidra Devi felt very sad. So because there was no pattern for her. So when Nidra Devi asked Rama, where will I go from now on? He is the greatest pattern, he is gone. You killed him. Rama replied, go wherever there are spiritual upanyasas and lectures, it seems, or Vedanta lectures. So with that, the Vetirikti, I'm just joking, Swamiji gives this example, I'm just giving the same example. So with that, the Vetireka part is over. Now, what is the conclusion now? Ataha. Ataha means therefore. Therefore means what? Anvayam Vetiriktabhyam Ataha Manaha Satve Samsara Satvam Manaha Abhave Samsara Abhavaha Tasmat Manaha Eva Samsara Karan. That's what the conclusion, that's what he says. Ataha Manaha Kalpitaha Eva Pumams Etasya Samsaraha. Etasya Pumams. Pumams Samsaraha. The Samsara of this human being. Puman means the human being. The samsara of this human being is manaha kalpitaha eva, caused or affected by the mind alone. Mind alone is the cause of samsara. And since it is mind caused, Shankaracharya, he concludes that mind is not the intrinsic nature of me because it is caused by someone else. It is an incidental thing. It is not intrinsic. Like, for example, the heat of the water. Heat of the water is caused by fire, and whatever is caused by an extraneous factor, that is not intrinsic nature, it is incidental nature. And what is it is called agantukam. Agantukam means incidental, and whatever is agantukam is not swabhavikam. Swabhavikam is swabhava, intrinsic. And since mind alone causes samsara for me, samsara is not my intrinsic nature, my real nature. Then what is my intrinsic nature? Mukti or moksha is my swarupam. He says, vastutaha nasti. Vastutaha means refers to intrinsically or really, naturally, factually, whatever it is, nasti. There is no samsara at all. If samsara has been intrinsic to me, what would have been the situation? For example, heat is intrinsic to the fire. So, which will be there all the time? Heat will be there all the time, intrinsic to the fire. Whether there is vessel, whether there is water, whether there is a person, regardless of any of them, heat is intrinsic to fire. So, what is intrinsic will never be lost because of the presence or absence of extraneous factors. Therefore, if samsara is intrinsic to me, it should be there whether or not there is the mind. That means in Sushupti also, where mind is, I would have experienced samsara. But our experience is, in Sushupti, we don't experience samsara at all. The very fact that in Sushupti, I don't experience samsara, that indicates that it is an incidental aspect. This is one of the very important arguments in Vedanta. Sushupti proves that samsara is not my nature. And therefore, sleep is a very, very important, is important philosophically. And biologically also, sleep is most important for health. So philosophically, sleep is extremely important because sleep is the state through which I tell you that limitation is not intrinsic to anybody. There is no limitation to anybody at all because limitation is not interest to us. Because of sleep. Duality is not intrinsic to you. Sorrow is not intrinsic to you. What is intrinsic, you can never drop, can never give away. Whereas consciousness is intrinsic to you because in sleep also, one does not drop consciousness. Mind is with everything is all drawn, all the entire world, but consciousness is not. Therefore, vastutaha intrinsically nasti. It's not there. We have to supply samsaraha, samsaraha nasti. That's not there. That is boktra adi samsaraha nasti. And here incidentally, we could like to add a point also. We should understand some of this carefully. We have said mind is the cause of samsara. That's what we said. In the presence of mind, samsara is there. In its absence, samsara is not. So from this, in certain books of Vedanta, they will make a statement. What is that? Mind alone is the cause of samsara. Therefore, you have to destroy the mind. Yeah, mind is the cause of samsara. Destroy the mind. It is called mano nashaha. This word is found in some Vedantic books. Later, it is elaborated also further. How to bring about the mano nasha? They say, they prescribe nirvikalpaka samadhi for mano nasha. Because in samadhi, one gradually removes the thoughts. What is their argument? The mind is full of thoughts and these thoughts alone manifest. So go on eliminating the thoughts. then what will happen? The mind will become thinner and thinner with respect to thoughts. So each nirvikalpaka samadhi, mind has become thinner. And then a day will come when all the vasanas are gone, because all thoughts are gone, and the very embodiment of vasana, the very mind, that also is destroyed. And you will become what? A mindless person, which is called moksha. Some books give such an argument. So one has to understand this aspect very carefully. Can one be taken, this manonashaka can be taken literally. Imagine, for example, our goal is to become mindless, manonashaka, destroy the mind. Then we will ask the question, what is the difference between a living being and a non-living desk? The desk is an inert matter, and only because it does not have a mind. If this Mahajnani, he is also going to be without a mind, it means what? One has reached a state of stonehood, like a stone. Then should we do all these sadhanas, so many of them, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all those things, to become a stone or a piece of wood? Or in some medical cases also, permanent coma, some people go into some permanent coma also, medically alive, through tubes, etc. Is anyone interested in that types of mukti? The person will be alive, he won't know whether people are there or not, eating or not, like a vegetable existence. Who wants such a jivan mukti? Nobody wants. So the real moksha that is prescribed by Vedanta is not a mindless or a thoughtless or a stone-like, vegetable-like existence. It is a live existence where only fully, you know, admire, a person can fully admire and appreciate the entire creation. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan, Swapan, as Gita, Krishna said in the Gita. It is a wonderful existence. It is not a literal destruction of mind through samadhi. We never accept the physical destruction of the mind by samadhi at all in Vedanta. Then how do we interpret the manonashaha? When they say manonashaha in all of them, being an important topic, we will see actually two interpretations here. If people read other Vedanta books, if no one reads them, no problem. If somebody happens to, you know, some unfortunately, you know, some people is a voracious reader, they read so many things. So to write a Vedanta book also, Swamiji says there is no qualification seems to be required. For example, somebody has to write a physics book or a chemistry book or something else. They have to have some PhD degree and some of those things. They should be very, very, you know, very learned people in all those. To write about scriptures, no such requirement is there. So if one does not know how to filter such books, or a voracious reader who reads all types of books, such a person, it is better to know what manonasha really means. Manonasha is to be understood in one of these two ways. Swamiji gives, one is falsification of the mind, or mityatva nischayaha. We call it mityatva nischayaha. Just as the world has no independent existence, independent of Brahman, similarly, mind also does not have an independent existence. This wisdom is called manonashaha. Mind also does not exist independently. This is manonashaha. So with this wisdom, I continue to use the mind like what? I continue to use the desk. After the wisdom, and what wisdom? There is no such thing called desk. It is only wood. The desk is only a namarupa. This wisdom is called desk nashaha. This is known in Sanskrit as mityatva nischayaha eva nashaha eva. And thereafter also, I will use the desk even after the nasha. Similarly, a jnani will happily use the mind even after manonasha through jnanam. And the second interpretation is manonashaha equal to problematic manonashaha. How to do that? By converting into non-problematic mind. A mind which is full of problems to convert into non-problematic mind. How do you convert it? Very simple. Ignorant mind is problematic. Wise mind is not. In Krishna, in Gita, Krishna said, Gatasun, Agatasunscham, Na Anushochandi Panditaha. Wise people enjoy a non-problematic mind. A mind which is dukkeshu anudvignamanaha sukeshu vigataspruhaha vitaragabayakrodaha. All those things Krishna said. Yasmanna udvijate lokaha lokanna udvijate chayaha. So all these Gita shlokas one should remember. And when the mind is non-problematic, we don't feel the burden of the mind. Because a healthy body and a healthy mind is not felt at all, is not noticed. For example, if you are sitting on the floor listening to the lecture, earlier that's what we used to have. Now only we got the comfort of listening to the lecture from wherever we are. So those days we used to sit on the floor and learn. So if we are sitting on the floor and listening to the lecture, which all people will feel the leg or the knee? Those who have the knee problem, the knees will keep on reminding them of their presence. And when you have no pain in the knees, you won't even feel the knee at all. Like the saying, when the shoe fits, the shoe is not felt or known. When it does not fit, it will always keep announcing its presence. One will be so uncomfortable. So therefore, mind is a light mind. And when the mind is full of sorrow, it becomes a heavy mind. So, ashantasya mano bharaha. For a person who does not have peace of mind, mind is a bharam, is a load only, is heavy weight. When we say jnani has destroyed the mind, for him, mind is not a bharam. It is as though it is not there. This is the second interpretation. The first one is what? Mityatva nischayaha is mano nashaha. And the second interpretation is ajnani mano nashaha by converting into jnani manaha, wise mind. Destroy the ignorance of mind by converting into jnani manaha, wise mind. There is no physical destruction of the mind, mano nashaha. Shloka 172. Vayuna niyate megaha punaste naiva niyate manasa kalpyate bandaha mokshaste naiva kalpyate. So Shankaracharya, he is aware of all the problems, so he should be aware of this problem also, that people will think of mano nasha. So he makes another point in this shloka, and that is, no doubt, mind is the cause of samsara, but mind alone is the cause of moksha or liberation also. Mind is not only cause of samsara, mind is the cause of moksha also. Therefore, destroying the mind is a foolish approach. Therefore, retain it carefully. To convey this idea, he gives the example of wind. When there is a bright sun, for example, and there are dark clouds elsewhere, the wind may blow and bring the cloud in front of the sun, because of which the sun is covered. Therefore, indirectly, the wind is the cause of covering the sun. And Shankaracharya says, if the cloud has to go away, who is responsible? The same wind alone removes the cloud from obstruction of sun also. Similarly, mind is the cause of samsara and moksha. Therefore, destroying the mind is not a solution. Then one can be in permanent sleep, if that is the case. That is what he says here. Megaha vayuna aniyate. The cloud aniyate. Megaha vayuna aniyate. The cloud is brought in front of the sun by the wind alone, because of which there is darkness, gloom upon earth, overcast. Punaha tenaiva niyate. Again, by the same wind alone, punaha, the cloud is cleared also, niyate, bringing brightness, brilliance upon the earth. Punaha tenaiva niyate. Tenaiva means vayuna eva. And what is the subject here? Megaha. We have to understand. So, niyate means cleared. In the same way, manasa kalpyate bandaha. Mind alone is the cause of bondage. At the same time, don't conclude then, let us destroy the mind, because mokshaha api tenaiva kalpyate. We have to use the very same mind for moksha also. Tenaiva manasa eva kalpyate. And this idea we find in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the 6th chapter. Bandura atmatmanastasya yenatmaiva atmanajitaha. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. There Krishna includes the body also. The body-mind complex is your friend, is your enemy also. By causing samsara, it is a friend. By causing liberation, it is your, by causing samsara, it is your enemy actually. And by, is a friend by causing liberation. Then naturally, the question will come, how can the very same body-mind complex be both a friend and enemy? We don't see such a relationship in the world at all, because we cannot be both friend and enemy to the same person at the same time. So Krishna himself answers the question, that body mind complex which is managed by you, that is your friend. Disciplined body mind complex is your friend. Healthy body mind complex is your friend. But an undisciplined or unhealthy body mind complex is an enemy. Only a healthy body mind complex can attend and enjoy Viveka Chudamani lecture also. Similarly, Shankaracharya says, mind is your friend and enemy. And he is going to explain it in other shlokas. Shloka 173.
Dehadi sarva vishaye parikalpya ragam badnati tena purusham pashubadgunena vairasya matra vishavat suvidhaya paschat yenam vimochayati tanmana eva bandhat.
So he explains now how one and the same mind is the cause of both bondage and mukti or liberation. And as we said in the case of the body, a healthy body is your friend, unhealthy body is your enemy. Same can be extended to the mind also. Healthy mind is a friend, unhealthy mind is not. Or this can be presented in different ways that Shankaracharya is going to do. Here he says, Ragi is mind, bandha hetuho. Viragi, ragi mind is bandha hetuho, and viragi mind is moksha hetuho. Ragi mind means what? Raga. Raga means dvesha included also here. Whenever we say raga, it includes dvesha also. So the mind is under the grip of raga dvesha, which cannot manage raga dvesha. Here also, actually, Dayananda Swamiji, he adds a very, very important expression. The mind can never be without raga dvesha, so no question of destroying raga dvesha at all. Krishna has very clearly said in the Gita, Indriyasya, Indriyasya arthe, Ragadveshav vyavasthitav. Ragadvesha is bound to be there. Then what do we mean by Ragadvesha atita rahita mind, the mind without Ragadvesha? It is a mind which can manage the Ragadvesha. It's a mind which can filter that Ragadvesha. A mind which can make Ragadvesha into a preference rather than needs. Swamiji says that. There is a lot of difference between a preference and a need. For example, I prefer to have a cup of coffee. But I need a coffee. Without it, I cannot do anything. That is the difference. That is called binding Ragadvesha. That is called need. Non-binding Ragadvesha is called preference. Therefore, I should know how to edit my ragadvesha. Illegal, immoral ragadvesha have to be eliminated. There is no binding or non-binding ragadvesha there. If they are illegal, throw it away. And all the other allowed ragadveshas, like for example, idli dosa ragadvesha. Lot of people like idli. No illegality at all. Only make sure that they are all preferences than needs or shackles. This Swamiji calls it as R&D. This ragadvesha managing mind. And such a mind is called viragi mind. That means he is the master of ragadvesha and ragadvesha is under his grip. Viragi mind should not be translated as a mind without ragadvesha. We have to be careful also. But as a mind for which ragadvesha is subservient or under control. Or a person is the master of ragadvesha. Whereas a ragi mind, Raga, Ragi mind is a slave of Ragadvesha. Under the grip of Ragadvesha, it's a hostage of Ragadvesha. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, a Ragi mind is the subject we have to supply here. It is Ragam Parikalpya, produces Raga. Binding attachment, that is Raga, Parikalpya. In what? Dehadi Sarva Vishaye, in every object of creation, including body, Dehadi. So, a ragi mind creates binding raga in the worldly objects. Beginning, raga is attachment. Object beginning from the very physical body itself. And by producing that attachment, what does it do? Tena purusham badnati. By that enslaving raga, attachment or addiction causing raga, purusham badnati binds the person. Purusham the person, badnati binds. It does not allow him to do anything. Like for example, a person bound to a pillar by a rope, he cannot do whatever he wants to do. How does mind bind me? When for example, my coffee does not come, I won't do anything. Actually, lot of people right from morning, without coffee, nothing can move. And when we did the big Atirudra Yajna,
the first thing they provided in the tent for all the people, Vaidikas, who have come there, 4:30 in the morning, we delivered coffee first. Because for a lot of people, without coffee, the day does not start. Regardless of whether Vaidikas, non-Vaidikas, it doesn't matter. They all are so habituated to that. 4:30 morning, we served coffee to all of them. So like a person, you know, this is how the binding is. So it is a ropeless binding. Therefore, Purusham Tena Badnati, Ragena Badnati. Tena means Ragena, by Raga. So Kaha Badnati, Manaha Badnati. What binds? Mind binds. So mind is like a person and Raga attachment is like a rope. Attachment also is called Pashaha. There is another word also, Pashaha. So it's also rope. It's also, so attachment also, the rope also is called Pashaha. So Pashuvati Gunena. Just as a person binds an animal with rope, Pashuvat, Pashu is animal. Here Shankaracharya uses the word guna with double meaning. One meaning guna is called rope, and the second guna, meaning of guna, that refers to one of the three gunas of the mind, especially the rajoguna of the mind, about which we will talk about later. So the mind binds a person with the help of rajoguna, caused attachment. Mind also uses the guna to bind. So a person also uses a guna to bind. That has two meanings. So this is an inimical mind now. And what does friendly mind do? He says, Paschat Vairasyam Atra Suvidaya. The very same mind, when it produces Vairagya instead of Raga, it produces dispassion instead of Raga. Vairasyam means opposite of Raga, opposite of attachment. So Vairagyam. So when the very same Ragi mind is converted into Viragi mind, when the very same mind produces Vairagyam instead of Raga attachment, Paschat, after getting lot of dents in life, so much of, you know, thrown away here and there, tossed between so much of experiences here and there, the entire life by various sorrowful experiences, because every attachment leads to sorrow without exceptions, general rule. Every attachment will lead ultimately to sorrow only. That is why in Tamil, one Tamil philosopher, I think it's called Thayumanavar, I guess, he wrote, Asayarumingal, Asayarumingal, Ishanodayinum Asayarumingal. Give up attachment, Asay, give up attachment, even though the attachment to God it is, Ishanodayinum Asayarumingal. So we should not throw the attachment to Lord right now. So rule number one is, any attachment produces sorrow. And rule number two is, the intensity of sorrow, that is directly proportional to the intensity of attachment. This is the most important declaration of our scriptures. If one does not accept the Shastras, one can go through getting so many dents in the life. And finally, he will end up coming to Vedanta only, if not earlier. So Atra, upon the very same world of objects, Vairasyam Suvidhaya. The very same mind will produce Vairagyam, which was said in the Mundaka Upanishad, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan Brahmanaha Nirvedamaya. So that we already saw that everybody has to come to this conclusion only. Paschat. That is why Shankaracharya, he did not give the time limit for this. He says later. It can be 5 years, 10 years, or 5 decades, or 5 janmas, or 500 janmas, nobody knows. So after all, in our religion, janmas are endless. In other religions, there is only one janma, and there is no time to experiment, to try and find out and learn the lesson. So paschat, tat manaha eva vimochayati. The very same mind, tat manaha eva vimochayati, it liberates, which is now viragi mind, a mind without attachment, that will release the person enam. Tat manaha eva, the very same mind, which was a problem before, the very same mind is a friend now. So vimochayati, it liberates. From what? Bandhat, from the bonds of samsara. So what is the conclusion? A ragi mind is the cause of bondage. A viragi mind is the cause of moksha or liberation. Earlier we said a healthy mind is the cause of liberation and an unhealthy mind is the cause of samsara or bondage. Hereafter, Shankaracharya, he will present it in another language. A sattvic mind is the cause of liberation. A rajasic, tamasic mind is the cause of bondage. So he puts it in technical language. Sattvika manaha moksha karanam. And rajasa tamasam manaha bandha karanam. He is going to say that. And the sattvic mind is called shuddham manaha. Pure mind. అండ్ ద రాజసిక్ తామసిక్ మైండ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ మలినం మనః. సో శుద్ధం మనః మోక్ష కారణం, మలినం మనః బంధ కారణం. వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ ఇస్ సింపుల్ వన్స్. సో వీ హవ్ లెఫ్ట్ వన్ వర్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక. ఇన్ ది శ్లోక యాక్చువల్లీ విషవత్, విషవత్ ఇన్ ది శ్లోక దిస్ అ వర్డ్ సెకండ్ లైన్. సో వైరాగ్యం టువర్డ్స్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ షుడ్ బి జస్ట్ యాజ్ ది వైరాగ్యం టువర్డ్స్ అ పాయిసన్. హౌ డు వి ట్రీట్ అ పాయిసన్? ద సేమ్ వే వైరాగ్యం షుడ్ బి దేర్. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ వన్ షుడ్ గెట్ వైరాగ్యం. శ్లోక 174. తస్మాన్ మన కారణమస్య జంతో బంధస్య మోక్షస్య చ వావిధానే బంధస్య హేతుర్మలినం రజోగుణై మోక్షస్య శుద్ధం విరజస్తమస్కం. తస్మాత్, తస్మాత్ మీన్స్ దేర్ఫోర్ మనః అస్య జంతో బంధస్య విధానే కారణం. ది మైండ్ అలోన్, మనసః, మనస ఏవ, మైండ్ అలోన్ ఈస్ ది కాస్ ఆఫ్ bringing out the bondage for this jantu. He calls us, all of us, as jantu, because an animal does not have freedom. So we also don't have freedom as long as we are under the grip of raga dveshas. That is why in the scriptures we are called pashus only. The Lord is pashupatihi, we are pashu, because we have no will of our own. Will, our will is under the grip of what? Under raga dveshas. Therefore he calls us jantus. And technically also the word jantu is true, because jantu by definition is what? Jayate iti jantuho, whichever is subject to birth, it is all called jantu. We are all born, so we are all jantus. So for this jiva, mind alone is the cause of bondage. So vidhane, vidhane means in producing bondage, mind alone is the cause. So mokshasya cha vidhane, in producing liberation also. For producing bondage also mind is the karanam. And for producing liberation also manaha eva karanam. Then he sorts out which mind is bandha karanam, cause of bondage. And he says malinam manaha bandhasya hetuko. Impure mind, malinam mind, manaha means impure mind. That is the cause of bondage. And what is the impurity? Rajogunaihi malinam. The mind which is impure with rajoguna. And we have to supply tamo guna also. So rajas tamo gunaihi malinam manaha, the mind which is impure. So rajoguna stands for extrovertedness and tamo guna stands for dullness of the mind. So our mind has these two problems: either it wanders or it sleeps. Meditation does not take it in take place in either mind. A wandering mind is in the grip of rajas and a dosing mind is in the grip of tamas. So we require a non-sleeping, non-wandering, alert mind. That is called sattvikam manaha or shuddham manaha. That is mokshasya hetuho, the cause for moksha. And what is a pure mind? Virajastamaskam, a mind without rajastamas dominant. Without the dominance of rajoguna and tamoguna, that mind is called virajastamaskam. Here also, without rajas and tamas, how do we understand that? A mind without rajas and tamas. For example, if you say a person has no pressure, when you call a person, oh, he has no blood pressure at all. What do you mean by that? He does not have more pressure than what is required. When we say he doesn't have blood pressure, it means he does not have more pressure than what is required. Similarly, when we say a pure mind does not have rajas and tamas, he does not mean zero rajas or tamas. He does not have more than what is required. He is sattva guna pradhanaha. For him, rajoguna is backs up and tamoguna is there, but very little. So as we saw in the introduction, he is an SRT personality. We went through all that. SRT, RST, TSR, all those personalities. So sattva predominant, sattva rajas tamoguna. So sattva predominant, so S is first. Sattva predominant, rajas is next, and tamas is the least. So we call him by a technical name, guna brahmanaha. So a guna brahmana alone can attain liberation. Regardless of birth, regardless of caste, regardless of gender, regardless of religion, if a person is a guna brahmana, then he alone can get moksha. Shloka 175. Viveka vairagya gunatirekat శుద్ధత్వమాసాద్య మనోవిముక్త్యై భవత్యతో బుద్ధిమతో ముముక్షోః తాభ్యాం దృఢాభ్యాం భవితవ్యమగ్రే. Therefore, what should be the first step in spiritual sadhana now? Shankaracharya says, self-knowledge is all latter stage only. But before self-knowledge, we should make sure that the mind is pure. That is, it is sattva pradhana. Only then the attempt for liberation will be successful. And then the next question is, how do I know that my mind is pure or not, is sattvic or not? And what is the metric? How do I measure it? Shastra itself actually presents the meter here. And what is that? When the mind is sattvic, viveka and vairagyam will be dominant. Viveka means the spiritual goal that becomes primary. And vairagya means the material goal becoming subservient to spiritual goal. And what is an impure mind? We have to again reverse this. Material goal becomes primary and spiritual interest becomes secondary. If it comes free, I will take it. That's the attitude. Spiritual goal, I don't have anything my own. But if it comes on my way, I don't mind taking it. I'm not spending any effort towards that at all. That is the attitude. That is, viveka and raga only, aviveka and raga only are there in those persons. They don't have viveka, but they have aviveka. And no vairagyam, but only raga attachment. So Shankaracharya says, vivekam vairagya guna atirekatam shuddha sattvam asadhya. The mind should attain purity, asadhya, attain, become. By what? Guna atirekat, by the increase of these two virtues. Atirekat means vriddhi, increase. And which virtue should increase? Viveka vairagya guna atirekat, by the increase of the virtues of viveka and vairagya. Here Shankaracharya does not say how to increase viveka and vairagya. Further, the answer is, we already know, karma yoga is the answer, or a religious life, or a pancha mahayagya pradhana way of life. We have seen all those earlier. That will lead to viveka and vairagya. So a religious life will help a person to learn from life situations, experiences. Pariksha lokan karma chitan. The Lord gives enough suffering situations, so many dents, to teach us. So, as someone very nicely said, that the whole life is an university of learning experience every day, every moment. Religious life will kindle our learning capacity from real life. The Upanishad also says, Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmanaha. And also here, there is a small detail. Why not the Upanishads say, everybody can learn from life? Why you should say only brahmanaha, the vaidikaha? Why should they alone learn? One who leads a Vedic life, a life based on scriptures, he alone will learn from life. What will he learn? Spiritual goal alone is shashvatam. That alone is eternal. Material goals are not. That is the shreyo marga and preyo marga. Shreyo marga alone is going to be permanent. So we have to add, karma yogena shuddhadvam asadhya. By religious life, karma yogena, the mind will attain purity, shuddhadvam, by way of increase of viveka and vairagya. And that mind alone is fit. So muktyai bhavati. For Vedanta vichara or liberation, so actually this is a very small detail. When there is a fourth case followed by bhavati, it should be translated as fit for. So saha mokshaya bhavati. He is fit for moksha. It is actually an idiom in Sanskrit. So it's fourth case bhavati. So ataha, therefore, only after viveka vairagyam, Vedantic study is useful, will be beneficial. And therefore, first attain viveka vairagya. Therefore, ataha. Agre thabhyam dridhabhyam bhavitavyam. Thabhyam dridhabhyam bhavitavyam. Thabhyam. Thabhyam, in the beginning of spiritual sadhana, even before Sharvanam Mannam Nityasanam, or in the Varnashrama language, if you want to take that, before taking sannyasa ashrama, one has to accomplish viveka and vairagyam. For this alone, they have given three ashramas. Brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama are all what? To gain this viveka and vairagya. In sannyasa ashrama, it's a small thing. For moksha, only one ashrama, sannyasa ashrama. For example, normally Acharya Swamiji gives this example. It is like cutting a ribbon to open a building. They built a new building and some minister or somebody came to cut the ribbon to let the building open. For him, how long it takes? only a few seconds, whereas the people to get the building built, right from buying the lands, funding, all those things together, it takes so much of preparation. Similarly, Tattvamasi is the simplest, but Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, the preparation, that is the toughest task that is done over three ashramas. Thereafter, Sanyasyam Shravanam Kuriyat. After Sanyasa Ashrama, then one can do Shravanam, Mananam and all that thing to gain moksha. So, Thabhyam, Dridabhyam, Bhavitavyam. So, Viveka Vairagya, Thabhyam. So, again, so Thabhyam, Dridabhyam, Bhavitavyam. Those two must be, that should be firm. They should be strong. So, actually, this is, if these two, Viveka and Vairagya, when they are strong, then the person will be able to go through the Shravana Manana Vidyasana and all that and acquire Jnanam also. So we'll stop here and continue in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Namaste Narayana.